It's Tuesday, March 24, 2020. I'm Stephen Fee, and this is The Pen Pod, a limited-run podcast from Pen America. On today's edition, Amazon has seen a flood of coronavirus books, but many contain false information, how the online retailer is reacting. Then, fighting back against disinformation, a BuzzFeed reporter walks us through the myths and facts surrounding coronavirus. And finally, a bookseller on what is lost and gained during this period of crisis. I'm Stephen Fee, all that coming up on The Pen Pod. Hey everyone, and welcome to The Pen Pod, a limited-run podcast from the literary and free expression group Pen America. Since the outbreak of the coronavirus took hold earlier this month, the online retail behemoth Amazon has been flooded with books related to the disease. According to a new report in Wired magazine from journalist Louise Metsakis, some of these books appear hastily self-published and contain numerous conspiracy theories. In response, Amazon has started taking some of these titles out of its catalog. That comes a year after Amazon began taking down books that made harmful or unscientific claims about vaccines, including those peddling false theories about cures for conditions like autism. Wired reports that Amazon has not disclosed how many coronavirus books have been removed, and the company does not publicly report the number of books it has taken down from its catalog overall. Up next, a surge in disinformation and a reporter who's doing her best to hit back. Spotting fake stories has become a full-time job for BuzzFeed senior reporter Jane Litvinenko. She covers disinformation and security and joins me now. Hey, Jane.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. You know, I'm just so curious, what is it like working as a journalist right now, especially one on the disinformation beat?
Oh man, it is exhausting. I have been on this beat for about 3 years, and this is the most disinformation I've ever seen. There's been nothing like it before.
Well, let's talk about that disinformation and disinformation spotting. Like, what kinds of fake stories, particularly about coronavirus, are popping up right now, and how are they disseminating around the web?
So there's sort of a couple of big themes. One is fake cures, and the other one is fake lockdowns. So with the fake cures, it's a lot of sort of supplement selling, coyly promising you to boost your immune system, and you know exactly what they're hinting at. It's a lot of, you know, hold your breath for 10 seconds, and if you can, that means you don't have the coronavirus. All false. And then on the flip side of that, we're seeing a lot of false reports of cities that are getting shut down. And, you know, it's important to stress that the situation from city to city is very different. But what we are seeing is that globally, from country to country, it's almost the same text being forwarded across group chats.
So, I mean, who's doing all this? Like, is it one bad actor? Is it like a group of people? Is it just sort of the in panic, people just start sharing random information? What's the source of all of this?
So attribution at the best of times when it comes to disinformation is difficult. We just have a really hard time figuring out where things come from because the internet really thrives on anonymity. But what we do know is that the hoaxes that we're seeing now are getting shared organically. What that means is it's a person who's really worried or anxious, really wants to make sure that the people in their network, their friends, their family, anybody else in their life is getting as up-to-date information as possible. And so when they see something that really causes them panic or that might seem like useful information, even if it isn't, they pass it on. So ultimately, it is all of us that are spreading this misinformation. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that all of us are going to fall for it. This isn't some faraway problem that nobody, you know, that smart people can avoid. I myself have fallen for hoaxes, and people around me have too. It's just a difficult time right now.
Jane, just quickly, what's the difference between disinformation with a D and misinformation with an M?
Right. So disinformation is a deliberate spread of false information. Usually that's what the term we use for bad actors like the Russians, Saudi Arabians, Chinese, who are deliberately running disinformation campaigns targeting people. Misinformation is what we use when somebody sees a piece of information and they're forwarding it on, not necessarily knowing that it's fake or forwarding it on in good faith.
What can people do to make sure they don't accidentally share stories that just aren't true?
Okay, so if I can go to disinformation basics for a second, here's what we know about the way it functions. It functions based on our emotions. It doesn't necessarily function on fact. So the reason why people share mis and disinformation, which is we know from studies, is because of an anxiety or a panic or an anger that mis or disinformation induces. So for us, the most important thing in preventing the spread of mis and disinformation is to be kind of in touch with your mental health a little bit. And if you get something that is a copy and pasted message or a voice memo that you didn't receive from a person that you know, or a memes, which is just an image with text on top of it, or even a video where you don't necessarily know the source. If it causes a spike in your anxiety, if your cortisol levels are through the roof, that is a good time to just take a deep breath, actually do it, take the physical deep breath, and say, all right, maybe the action that I should perform is not forwarding this on to my network, but Googling it real quick. We have pretty much every debunker in the world on this story right now. And if there is a falsehood out there, chances are it's been debunked. So instead of forwarding the bad information, forward the debunk to your network instead.
Got it. That's really helpful. Well, look, let me just ask quickly. I mean, you're in Toronto right now, which is experiencing one of these lockdowns of a big city. You know, what are the just logistically in terms of being able to do your job to report, what does that mean for you?
Well, I grabbed all of my equipment and put it into tote bags last Thursday, brought it up to my attic, a couple of floors up here, and set up an entire monitoring station, complete with two monitors, a laptop, and probably a lot more news than I should be processing. But mercifully, my roommate's dog has been keeping me some very nice company.
That's what we all need right now is a good dog to keep us company in these crazy times. Jane Litvinenko covers disinformation and security for BuzzFeed. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Be good out there.
And finally, over at lithub.com, bookseller Stephen Sparks has a new essay about the turbulent times he and other bookstore operators are facing. In Bookselling at the End of the World, Sparks writes about the uncertain future ahead for booksellers, but also about the outpouring of support he received when he and his wife were forced to close their doors. He writes, "Everything feels tenuous at the moment, as the edge we've been skirting inches closer. But that community of readers who value the unique and essential space a bookstore inhabits in our culture feels stronger than ever." Read the full essay at lithub.com. We'll have a link at our website, pen.org. And that's our episode for Tuesday, March 24th, 2020. Join us tomorrow for the Pen Pod. You can listen to all of our episodes at pen.org. Follow us at Pen America on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Sign up on our website for our Daily Dare newsletter, where we track major stories about literature, free expression, and the news of the world. I'm Stephen Fee for Pen America. This is the Pen Pod. See you tomorrow.